Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We turn our attention to that part of liberalism that is called modernism. Now, we must understand our terms, even if we don't always use the same terms. I am using the terms liberalism and modernism to simply mean that all modernism is liberalism, but not all liberalism is modernism. I'm making modernism something special. Now, we must understand those terms as we discuss this issue. Modernism is a prominent religious concept. It's being held by many theologians and clergymen, denominations, both Romanists, Protestants, Jews. It is not modern. It is as old as the disobedience of Adam. It stems from man's desire and determination to be what he calls free, to do as he chooses without being held responsible for his deeds before any authority, and certainly not the authority of God. Now, such a concept obviously cuts the heart out of New Testament Christianity. Modernism denies that the Bible is the Word of God, that it's only a human product, produced naturally, through the use of documents that none have ever found, but modernists contend they just simply must have existed somewhere or sometime. However, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 2 Peter chapter 1, they both affirm the divine inspiration of Scripture, but this modernism denies. Now, in denying the Bible, it naturally denies what the Bible teaches regarding such things as the account of the creation. Modernism subscribes to evolution, atheistic or theistic, neither of which is compatible with the Scripture. Now, not all evolutionists are atheist, nor are all modernists atheist, but they all deny the biblical account of creation. Modernism denies the reality of the miracles, such as are recorded in the Scriptures. They attempt to explain every record by some naturalistic process, and when they cannot do that, they just outright deny what happened, such as the flood at the time of Noah, or the account that's given in Jonah and the fish, the miraculous healings of which are recorded in the Bible, the virgin birth of Christ, all such things as that, modernism simply denies or explains away. Modernism denies the deity of Christ, contending that he was just a man, nothing more than just an exceptional man. Now, they do allow that he was exceptional, but nothing more than just another human. Prophecy and its fulfillment, they deny that also. This denial, of course, makes the writers of both the Old and the New Testaments deliberate liars. For one who has spoken in prophecy and another who spoke its fulfillment, since neither of it was true, neither of them were reporting what was accurate. Modernists have to deny prophecy and fulfillment because that involves the miraculous, which they deny even as they approach the Bible before they investigate. These things modernists just deny. It's totally negative, you see. The return of Christ and the judgment and the life after this, all of those things are denied by modernism. Their conclusions makes this life without purpose. It has no meaning. Man's existence is for nothing. He's born only to die and nothing more. That's modernism. The necessity of salvation in the church being composed of the saved, that is denied, because they deny the reality of sin. They therefore deny the need of spiritual salvation. To modernists, the church is a decadent social order that deserves extermination or complete restructuring to make it what they call relevant to our times. The only salvation modernists ever mention is salvation from some of the earthly ills. Well, all in all, modernism denies all such things that would make for a final and supreme authority, totally disregarding the Bible and all that is revealed therein. Modernism is a very radical form of liberalism. Now, some deplore the use of labels. They don't like to identify a liberal as a liberal, or a modernist as a modernist, or a conservative as a conservative. But, friend, without such labels, there would be no way to mark those who teach contrary to the Scripture, and Scripture calls for us to do that very thing. Labels are needed in order to expose and oppose such error, and to assist us in learning to avoid such things and preventing being overcome by them. Christians ought not cringe from the use of labels, since Paul told us to mark certain ones, Romans 16, verse 17. If we're intent on preserving the faith of the Bible, we will not shy away from being called conservative in that matter. We're not ashamed to be called fundamentalist, a term often reserved for extreme positions, but a term that can also be applied to those who contend for the fundamentals of the faith. Nor shall we be shy to label a liberal, or liberal doctrine as a liberal doctrine. Most clergymen and the ruling powers in most religious bodies today are liberals. Many of them are outright modernist. The rank modernist is a very prominent form of teaching that is totally negative toward everything about Christianity. And even though there be those who say they are involved in quote-unquote Christian bodies, they are very prominent in the denominational world. And thus far, it's not often the case, we see some in the church. There have been cases of rank modernism among brethren from time to time, but to be a modernist means one cannot be a faithful Christian. And a church that is a church of modernism cannot be a faithful church of Christ. Oh, it may still retain the identification and have a sign out front that says Church of Christ, but there will be a number of churches that call themselves Church of Christ that not necessarily are a Church of Christ because of liberalism and because of modernism. The problem in the church is liberalism of another sort. Rather than the blatant, arrogant denials of modernism, it takes form another way. It is a mistake to refrain from branding a liberal those who are liberal, just because they may not be modernist. Liberalism, even though it may not have gone so far as to modernism, is a disregard for the authority and the necessity for authority, the Word of God. There be those who do not make the denials of modernism, but they're liberals just the same. Their liberalism cultivates the ground for the planting and the growth of modernism. Liberals usually do not look with great disdain toward modernism. In fact, they're very inclined to be tolerant toward the modernist. It is liberalism of this insipid nature that can cause the church to lose its distinctiveness as quickly as any other way. To follow liberalism means soon to be undeserving of the identification of being a church of Christ. Let us turn our attention to various forms of liberalism, as is evidenced even sometimes among those who profess to be New Testament Christians. Now we need to be aware of liberalism, that it's being taught, that it's being promoted, and with some it's being accepted and adopted. And we can only know of it by being informed. As a gospel preacher, I feel keenly it is my duty to point out the manners of liberalism among us and others, lest we be subverted by it. We must see the distinction clearly between liberalism and God's truth. We cannot afford to entertain liberalism in any congregation or look upon it lightly in any congregation that would call itself a Church of Christ. Now, I am sure that there are many examples of liberalism that I shall not mention. Those that I do mention are those with which I have had personal contact, having heard or read or personally heard from tapes or seen in articles and in conversations, encountered in correspondence, or exposed it in some way or another personally. I'm not guessing or supposing that the things that I shall mention exist, I may not be persuasive in causing you to think about it, but I know that these things do exist because I have known them firsthand. Friend, it is liberalism to contend that the Church of Christ is a denomination, like a denomination among other denominations. It is liberalism to say one church is just as good as another. One said, "We may as well admit it, we're just another denomination." I forcefully deny that the Lord's church is a denomination. If a church is a denomination, it's not the Lord's church. And if it is the Lord's church, it's not a denomination. Then why can we say that so confidently? It's because the New Testament knows nothing about denominations existing by the authority of God. You see, we have respect for the Bible as the authority of God. This is contrary to liberalism. Rank modernism denies most everything that the Bible has to say, but liberalism has selectively chosen certain things to simply disregard. Rather than to read about denominations in the Bible, we read of the condemnation of the division that denominationalism propagates and upon which it feeds. The Bible teaches the church is the body of Christ and is composed of the saved, and that there is but one church that was built by Christ, purchased by His blood. It is His possession, He is the head of it, and He will deliver it as God's kingdom to the Father when He returns, because He's the Savior of the body which is the church. Now that's what Scripture teaches. You may not believe it or accept it, but there is no denial. That's what Scripture teaches. The church does not teach or practice denominationalism, nor even claims, but only denies any fellowship with denominationalism. The Lord's church, as it is in the New Testament, would have no fellowship whatsoever and kinship with denominationalism. Only liberals will lie about the church and degrade the church, and call it a denomination. And closely akin to the above idea, it is liberalism to say that Christ saves and not the church, because that leaves a false impression, the impression that the church is not essential to salvation. Now that's denominational language, that's not speaking as the oracles of God. Sometimes people are heard to advise, "Preach Christ and not the church." Well, friend, we know from the Bible Christ saves, but those who are saved compose the church. One cannot preach the Savior without preaching the saved. One cannot preach the King without preaching His kingdom. You can't preach the head and completely sever it from the body. The attempts to separate Christ from the church and the church from salvation is to preach the false doctrine of liberalism. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. One must be a member of the church to be saved because salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. And to be in Christ is to be in His body, and His body is the church. That's not difficult. People can understand that. If they were not so blinded by their creeds and by their clergymen and such as that, they could understand what the Bible has to say about the relationship of Christ and the church. Why should anyone who professes to love the Word of God wish to make statements that detract from His church, which Christ purchased with His own blood? Attempts to discount the church, to make the church of little to no importance in salvation, is to remove oneself from under the authority of God. And that's what liberalism does. That's the theme of liberalism. Along this same line, liberals sometimes talk about Church of Christ doctrine. My dear listener, there is no such thing. The doctrine is the doctrine of Christ. The word doctrine simply means teaching. It is of Christ. It's not of the church. The church is to uphold His doctrine, not make and alter and rearrange and tamper with the doctrine of Christ. Now, to be sure, denominations have their doctrines in their creeds, their manuals, their prayer books, their catechisms that make them unique and distinctive and different from all the rest. But the Lord's church has the responsibility to preach the doctrine of Christ. The church is not to make doctrine. It's to preach and practice His doctrine. And to speak of some Church of Christ doctrine is simply to reveal biblical ignorance. Some simply do not wish to accept the doctrine of Christ, so they cast it off and call it Church of Christ doctrine because the Church of Christ believes, preaches, and practices the doctrine of Christ. But you see, liberalism extols the denominations, and it speaks disparagingly of the church. And I've heard liberals say, we're 50 years behind the denominations. To which I respond, so what? That's even too close to that which the Lord planted not, and which shall be rooted up. Why should we want to even be going the same direction? There are those that think the denominations do everything better than faithful brethren, but they fail to realize that we're not even in the same business. We're not doing the same work. The church does God's work, God's way, as revealed in the Bible. Denominations do not even teach people correctly how to be saved. Liberals like to point out what they consider to be wrong with the church and its work, and the way it stands for the truth. But I ask, why should God's people want to be like those who are merely religious, but are not God's people? We do not want to be behind the denominations. We don't even want to be on the same road. We cannot afford to go the same direction. We must ever be as far behind them as is necessary to continue to be the Lord's church. We ought to love the body of Christ more than place it beneath the human religions and cast reflections against it and its sacred design and its sacred message and its marks of identification. We might remember that the methods used by denominations to promote their error are not necessarily the methods God's people ought to use in the promotion of truth. There'll be other lessons on liberalism. We hope that you'll have the opportunity to hear them. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.